This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank and Christina Sasso from A History with God Ministries. This podcast this week is going to be a little different from our normal format. On Friday, December 14th, a gunman invaded a elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut, killing 26 people, 20 of which were children between the ages of 5 and 10, and the other 6 were adults. It was horrific, it was terrible, it was absolutely evil and of the devil. And we had gone to a prayer group, and our sister in the Lord, Katrina Smith, was there. She's a poet, and she actually had a poem in response to this situation.
It was the Lord had given her this poem before she got there.
Right. She was actually coming with a Christmas poem.
Right.
The Lord just gave her this, and she wrote it real quick on her laptop, and thankfully, we were able to record it. So here is Katrina Smith. She will be on a future podcast with us, but for now, listen to this. We think this is going to bless you. Here's Katrina.
In the beginning, sin came. From Adam and Eve to Abel being killed by his own brother Cain. From the past to right now, God hears the blood of his children crying out to him from the ground. Yet throughout all the generations, throughout all the nations, our faith in the great I Am remains. Even when Satan tries to make man claim defeat, when we see an outpour of deaths from the richest areas right down to poverty streets, no life is greater. For every being was created from our Creator. I tell you, that which is true. Nothing under the sun happens in vain. Through the pain comes change. So we lift up our prayers for all the lost lives that were taken from this earth. Lost lives that were sacrificed to help us all live in our true worth. To teach us, may we not take for granted the seeds that were planted within us to grow. Seeds of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These seeds that last throughout time to keep us sound and whole. Behold, I am that which I am, your God above all gods. Just like my faithful servant Job, I too restore double fold of what I allow Satan to try to rob. I, the Lord, bless Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. So sinning will come. But through my blood, I saved all my chosen ones. Keep the faith. Prayer shall direct your strength and be still. I am is cleansing so that all may be healed, so that his word may be fulfilled. But what is to come, my chosen ones, is beyond your imagination. Glory to glory and overthrow of temptation. This is the reason for this meeting and season. Hold strong for my children, it won't be long. From your beginning to your end, move now in my name to make disciples. That will is against sin. Lean not to your own understanding, but trust so ever in me, Son of God, the Almighty. For I will be there at the end, just as I was in the beginning. Amen. Now praise me for your direction to begin.
Well, that was great. I love that people can use their talents for the Lord. Like, she has such a gift to do that.
Amen.
Thank you, Katrina. And we're going to hear more from her in the future. I just wanted to respond to this because I know we hear it often, like, oh, why would God allow this? Or, oh, well, I guess God had a plan and his ways are mysterious.
Yeah, they're higher than our ways.
Our ways are higher and he's sovereign. Right. I just want to make this very, very clear. This was not God's doing. God is not the author of tragedy and horrific behavior. Please know the character of the God that you serve. That is not it.
Right.
We live in a fallen world. Yes, we live in it. We are not of it, but we live in it. And there are people who are influenced by evil. And you know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll try and influence people who are susceptible to him to do horrific, unbelievable things. And this being one of them.
That's right.
And it's a tragedy all the way around, even for this poor soul that felt he needed to do this for some reason. But I just want to encourage people, get to know who God is. And when you understand who God is and how much he loves you so much, and how Jesus came to the earth to tell you and to share with you and to explain with you who God is and the true nature of God, you will understand that God could never be the author of this terrible thing. Amen. And even it says in James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God. For God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. But every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, and baited by his own evil desire, lust, passions. Then the evil desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. Do not be misled, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect, free, large, full gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light, in the shining of whom there can be no variation, rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning, as if in an eclipse. That is from the Amplified, and that is James 1:13-17. So I want to encourage you and inform you and let you know that God is grieved as we are with these horrible things that are happening. And this is not God's will.
Right.
This is not something he allowed to happen.
Well, people seem to have this understanding where they didn't get it from the Bible, that God is out to get you.
Mm-hmm.
That he's punishing you or he's trying to teach you something. Mm-hmm. And that's not his true nature.
No.
His true nature is he's a God who loves you.
Right,
period.
Right. It comes from, I think, poor teaching. It comes from not really understanding the Old Testament versus the New Testament and not understanding what was happening in the Old Testament. And that's when you need to go into the Word for yourself and renew your mind with the guidance of the Holy Spirit and really, really search it out for yourself. Get
right.
Get educated. Get get revelation knowledge.
Christina and I just listened to a great, great series called The True Nature of God. If you go on the website, you'll see right there on the homepage, learn about the true nature of God. Click that button and you will hear a 5-part series from Andrew Womack explaining the true nature of God. He ties together the Old Testament with the New Testament, and he really, really, really will give you such a great teaching on what God is really like. It'll answer a lot of your questions about things that happen and why they happen. And so check that out. That's really going to bless you.
And we want to also say that when horrible things happen in the world, I believe our spirits, this part of God that is in all of us, wants to help and comfort and reach out. And even in the natural worldly sense, people want to send money or food and clothing. And I think that is a godly thing. But what we have to offer as Christians is so much better. The comfort is really truly from the Comforter. We have the Holy Spirit to offer. And the world is the world and it is what it is. And I know from past experience that in a week or two, this will fade
right
to the backdrop and there'll be some other thing that's the big news.
Right.
Like Hurricane Sandy was a big deal, but now you don't really read about it. But there are people still out there without homes, without
heat. No electricity.
But it's not a front page news anymore. It's not a big seller. So the world is very fickle, and it doesn't really have anything to offer. But we as Christians, we have something to offer. And the biggest thing we have to offer is Jesus. And what we have through Jesus is hope.
Amen.
And what we have through that hope is hope for a future, and hope for comfort, and hope for counsel, and hope for light. And in this season of Christmas, it's all about hope. I mean, Jesus has already come. He's already did what he set out to do. He's accomplished everything that he set out to do. But we celebrate his coming to the earth as a human being in the form of a child, a baby.
Amen.
And there's no greater hope than that. So we want to just talk a little bit about hope and what hope really is.
And I'm going to be pulling some stuff out of an article I wrote about hope, which is on the website as well, under articles. I think it's the last one on the list. It's called just plainly hope. Hope. Well, let's start off with a definition of hope. Now, if someone were to ask you, okay, Chris, define hope in one sentence, what would you say?
Something that I'm looking forward to with expectation and anticipation.
Well, that's certainly cool. Nothing wrong with that. That is highly accurate. Here's another definition. Hope is the confident expectation that God is willing and able to fulfill all of his promises in your life.
Amen.
Let me tell you what hope isn't, okay? Hope is not wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking on things that you have absolutely no control over, but you sort of hope that your wishful thinking will make a difference.
Well, I hope so.
Like, I watched this UFC fight once with this kind of wishful thinking. Like, this guy, this fighter, Phil Baroni, you know, there's this hope that he'll come out of retirement and compete again, but it's just really wishful thinking. It's not really hope. Hope is also not blind optimism. You know, some people are just pessimists. No matter what happens, they could put a doom and gloom spin on it. You know, we mm-hmm. know many people like that, that they could find the dark cloud on any silver lining you could point out.
Right, so hope is not the opposite of that.
Exactly, that's okay. Not right.
So what is hope?
Well, okay, bear with me for a minute. Well, maybe not
a minute.
It's going to be a little bit longer than a minute. Listeners, bear with me. I want to tell you a little story. I did some research on the history of Israel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it relates to hope.
Mm-hmm.
In the days where, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel, there were 10 northern tribes and 2 southern tribes. The 10 northern tribes were called Israel. The 2 northern tribes were called Judah, okay? In those days, when one nation conquered another, there were absolutely no rules.
What do you mean by that?
Like, you were either the conqueror or the conquered. If you were the conqueror, there was nothing you could do about the conquerors, what they did to you. There were no rules. There were no
Geneva. What would they do to you?
They would routinely rape the women, kill the children. They were actually, it was a horrible, horrible time. It was a brutal, brutal time. They would do horrible things.
So there was no, like, okay, you can't do this, you can't do that.
No, there were no rules. There were no Geneva Convention. Okay. There was none of that. So they did all this crazy stuff. The final thing that they would do to people is that they would put them in what was called a death march.
And what's that?
A death march was they would march the people out of their country to another country. All right, so they would march them out of their own country into another country that they had conquered. And the strategy behind this was that if they would take them away from their own land, they wouldn't know the country they were in, so they wouldn't know where they could hide. They would be so totally demoralized, and they wouldn't revolt.
Okay, so they're basically totally reducing them to...
to nothing.
To nothing, right. Okay.
Like, no identity. They're people without a country, like, literally.
Right, okay.
All right, so... during that time, there was this prophet named Jeremiah.
Okay.
Okay, and he had been prophesying from when he was like a young guy to the people of Israel, saying, you know, trying to call them back to the relationship with God and calling them to repent of their sins, telling, you know, that judgment's going to come, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, oh, it's going to be bad, you guys, you better repent, that kind of thing. So he was kind of warning them to repent because he wanted to...
Before
judgment came.
Okay.
Now, for all of Jeremiah's life, they laughed at him, they ridiculed him, they never paid any attention to him.
Mm-hmm.
Then judgment came, and King Nebuchadnezzar himself
mm-hmm.
came to Jerusalem, and then King Jehoiakim, I think it's pronounced Jehoiakim, surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. So they marched the people of Jerusalem all the way to Babylon. It was a death march.
So it was a death march, the same what you described. To
exactly.
Remove them from the country, to demoralize them so that they would have nothing to look forward to. They would just be totally...
No hope.
No hope. Okay.
No hope. And I often wondered how many people actually died on along the way to Babylon.
Well, I guess it was a way to weed out the weaker people. Like, you know, whoever didn't make it, well, got rid of the weaker ones.
Got rid of them. So when people got carried away into exile that way, the nation just ceased to exist.
Okay.
That's what happened to all the nations around Israel. They were absorbed into the culture of the country they were taken into. I mean, when was the last time we went out for a home-cooked Hittite meal, you know? Just trying to take someone on a date to go see the three Edomite tenors in concert. The reason you can't now is because those nations simply ceased to exist. Everything about them stopped. Everything about them ceased to exist.
Okay.
Talk about darkness.
Okay.
You know, so that's the kind of darkness that Israel faced when they were taken
to Babylon.
So
Israel was in the... Israel, as a nation...
Right.
Historically... was being set up to be...
Non-existent. Exactly.
A hopeless, lost situation.
And that would instill hopelessness in those people,
right,
too.
Right,
because now they don't even have... They don't have a country. They don't have anything.
Now,
in that context, though, Jeremiah, the prophet that no one listened to, he decides he's going to write them a letter.
And what did he say? Ah, I told you so. You wouldn't listen to me. Good for you.
If it were me, it would have been a very short letter. That's exactly what it was. Dear Israel, I told you so respectfully, Jeremiah. That would have been it. But
he didn't do that.
Jeremiah didn't do that.
No.
He wrote them the letter, which is your favorite scripture.
My favorite scripture.
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future.
I love that.
It's good stuff.
I love that. Read it again.
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
If I heard that in a desperate situation, that would just so uplift me.
Mm.
I mean, just to know that God sees your plight and this is not the end.
Mm.
He's got a plan for you. He's got a future for you.
Amen.
Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Oh.
And then if you jump ahead like two chapters, I believe, Jeremiah 31, he says, so there is hope for your descendants, declares the Lord. So he's saying that your children will return to their own land. They watched their friends and neighbors die. Some of them died of starvation. Some of them were killed. Some of them ate their own children. Some were killed by Babylonians. Some were tortured to death. They watched their friends be raped and murdered. And they faced the very real possibility that their nation had ceased to exist as a nation.
So in that terrible, terrible time,
right,
it was a dark, horrific, violent, brutal time,
mm-hmm,
appearing to be no hope.
Right.
In the midst of that darkness,
right,
there is this glimmer of light.
From
the prophet Jeremiah.
Exactly.
With the words of the Lord.
Yeah. That's where
that
the
I have plans for
it
you.
It came from these kinds of prophetic words,
mm-hmm,
from the Lord through Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so 70 years later, God moves on the heart of a pagan king, Cyrus,
mm-hmm,
to send a remnant, like 43,000 people. But here's the thing. There had been millions.
Right.
So the remnant, 43,000 people, sounds like a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Not when you're comparing it to millions.
Right.
So that's why they're called a remnant. But anyway, 43,000 people come back out of exile to Jerusalem to begin to rebuild the city.
Mm.
To his people facing national extinction, those words from the Lord through Jeremiah bring light and they bring hope.
And we can even extend that further into the future.
Amen.
Because that word from Jeremiah not only prophesied 70 years later to the remnant coming back, but prophesied even further forward into the future to the coming of the Messiah.
Absolutely. Look at Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. So to his people who are looking for their Messiah to come, the prophets speak. You could look at Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from of ancient times. So you see the pattern there?
Mm-hmm.
God speaks his words of light into darkness.
So if we even talk about the season that we're in now, which is the Christmas season, that is a perfect example of God bringing light into the darkness. Because our hope is in Christ. Right. And Christ has already come. He's already done what he came to do. He's already accomplished what he came to accomplish.
Right.
But we look to the season as a remembrance of him coming to the earth at
right.
a time when it was dark and right. there was despair, but yet there was hope.
Fulfilling that
right.
Fulfilling the words of the prophets
right.
who have said that Jesus was coming. You know, mm-hmm. we have hope because in Christ, like for example, our past has been totally absolved.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many people that like, they'll take that Jeremiah 29:11,
mm-hmm.
for I know the plans for you that I have for you, plans mm-hmm. to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a
right.
future. There'll be so many people that'll be like, oh, well, you know, there can't be anything good for me in the future because of all the bad things I've done. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. All the bad stuff I did. It's like this karma thing, like if people are thinking, I've done all this bad stuff, so now all this bad stuff now has to happen to me. But in Christ, our past is absolved. We are forgiven. It's washed away. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Oh. In fact, today, it's not only that there are prophets who speak words of hope to the people of God, but God's plan is that he had given his Holy Spirit to everyone who has put their faith in him, and the scriptures say that we can all prophesy. We can all speak and encourage and comfort. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And that word encouraging, honestly, it's really not a big enough word for what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us today. I had a feeling that there was more to it than what that word was translated to, so I looked it up. The Greek word for encouraging is parakaleo, which literally means to call alongside. It's used to describe the Holy Spirit when Jesus calls him the Comforter. So the idea of it is that when someone prophesies, they speak words that bring aid or courage to a person to ensure that they step into their destiny. It's something associated to your future. It's calling you. It's words that bring light so that you can have hope. It calls you into the future. It calls you into your destiny.
And the word comfort. Comfort is helping you process the trials that you've already been through, the stuff that you've already gone through that beats you up, the things that you need comfort for. So I think we're called to, through the Holy Spirit, comfort ourselves and comfort others and bring hope for a future.
Right.
To people who are suffering and people who are going through dark times.
Exactly. And we have hope because our future is assured. Hope is the confident expectation that God is willing and able to fulfill his promises. God keeps his promises. And he has an amazing way, when we yield our lives to him, of changing us and helping us know that our future is assured. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We're going to end this podcast with another poem from Katrina, but keep in mind, as you're listening to her, let's start speaking words of hope into the dark areas of people's lives. Until next week,
stay blessed.
Walk into your worth, I can hear my Lord say. I come to you the lowly, I come to you the sinner, for I heard your cry. This is for you, my battered woman. This is for you, my lost son. This is for you, my hungry child, searching for someone to heal your broken heart. Now, where shall I start? I need you to understand. Put not all your faith in any man. For man love changes as the seasons flow. If you choose to grow, you must first let go of all that which hinders your growth. Only then, my child, will I move in your worth. I am my word, and my word is me. How can you speak to your storm in my name without being able to quote my word on your reality? Other words, you must study me to fulfill your destiny. I know the issues that you currently embrace. I see the endless pain that you're forced to face. But this, my child, was meant to make you strong. It was meant to show you that I can prevail over any storm. Don't you see? That with every trial and tribulation, you grew closer to me, the Almighty. I have shown you that I am your only true provider that can take you higher, that I am your only true healer that even made many say no to their drug dealers, that I am your only true friend that even when others left, I carried you until the end, that I am your only true redeemer that erased your doubts and made you a true believer, that I am your only true that I am. You were not meant to be like others, so stop comparing. You are not blessed financially just for your pleasure, so start sharing. You are not given life to turn your back on Jesus Christ. You are you. Surrender all and I will direct you on what to do. For then you will be my vessel where my Holy Spirit shall dwell. Never stop trying, for if you do, you will be given glory to hell where your soul shall forever dwell. No. It's not too late. Actually, you're right on time. Seek me first and the truth you shall find. Heaven here on earth, my child, walk into your worth.
Nice. That's gonna be
wild. Good stuff, Katrina.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.